It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Almost Friday to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tracy Sandler will join us from Seattle to talk about the Niners. How far does this Thursday night football win go to getting them back on track? After falling out of first place, after dropping a couple of games to division opponents, though they had an early double-figure lead, how far does this win go to getting them back to where they feel like they're headed in the right direction? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Online at A-Law Radio. If you're looking for the Game of the Week poll, that's it, baby. After Hours Game of the Week, spirited balloting already. So you can check that out on Twix, but also seriously, getting it up on our Facebook page. So we'll have a jam-packed hour again. That's just how it goes. We are looking ahead to a pair of Game 5s for the Division Series. Now, last year, I don't know if we had any game fives. We ended up not getting a whole lot of winner-take-all games in last year's baseball playoffs. October was less dramatic in 2023. But so far, we've had some huge hits, some wild finishes. And I do love the fact that we've got a couple winner-take-all games, one on Friday in the National League, one on Saturday in the American League. And we'll get to Tigers and Guardians coming up. But we had another series that ended with a game four on Thursday. The Yankees, they got a very strong performance from Gerrit Cole. And wait till you hear his post-game comments. Really funny. It's it's a little jarring to hear him, but he's talking over the top of the din in the clubhouse, and they're celebrating getting to the LCS. And when the first time I heard it, you know it's Gerrit Cole, but when he talks loudly, his voice goes up about a full octave, so it's pretty funny. It's a little bit like Patrick Mahomes, except that he's yelling again over the celebration in the background. So he was brilliant, allowing just one run through seven innings pitched. How often have we talked about a quality start in these playoffs? Not as many. They are the minority. You don't often see pitchers, even starters, go seven innings. But he does, allowing just a single run to the Royals, four strikeouts, no walks, which is huge, scattering a half dozen hits. The defense behind him was terrific. And once again, Giancarlo Stanton coming through. He's been the biggest bat of these playoffs for the Yankees.
Here's the 2-2. A ground ball at the middle, base hit center field. A hot shot. Judge scores, Stanton at first with a ribby single, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
Significant to note, by the way, that the Yankees had Aaron Judge on base. That's a big deal because he'd really scuffled in the series to this point. A lot's been made of it. Not that dissimilar from trying to think of some other examples. Oh, Pete Alonso with the Mets would be a good one when he had gone homerless since mid-August mid-September, something along those lines, and a lot of pressure always on Aaron Judge. He is going to be the American League MVP barring some type of crazy upset. And he's not the one who's done the heavy lifting in this series. It's been Juan Soto. It's been Gleyber Torres who came through and drove in a run in this game four. And gosh, Giancarlo Stanton, who had the home run in game three, who also had another RBI double. And so here are the Yankees into their fourth league championship series in 8 years, but they're not getting the production from Aaron Judge. And so we'll see if that changes moving forward to the next round. They're going to need it. Whoever it is they end up facing, they're going to need it because the pitching coming out of these AL Central teams, it's really good. But in this particular game, they got the production they needed, and Gerrit Cole and the bullpen did the rest. Now prepare yourself. When you hear Gerrit Cole inside the clubhouse, he had been working toward having this type of lockdown start.
I just worked on the delivery this week. Just trying to crisp it up just a little bit and make sure that, you know, like we were getting the ball to good areas. So it was a good week of work, and it paid off.
The first time I heard that, it scared me.
I just worked on the delivery this week.
I know he's only being loud because of the guys behind him and what's happening around him, and champagne's flying and the music is booming and they're dancing. And gosh, I even heard chants of MVP. I'm assuming those were for Aaron Judge. But yeah, to hear from Gerrit, because when he talks louder and he raises his voice goes up an octave.
Done the delivery this week. Just try to crisp it up.
You would not think that he was a world-class pitcher who just pitched a gem in a closeout game for the Yankees.
It was a good week of work, and it paid off.
So what does it take to go a step further, Gerrit Cole?
We got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're going to face a really tough opponent, so it's going to come down to playing together as a unit and just, you know, continue trying to improve on the brand of baseball that we're playing.
Whoever was interviewing him in the clubhouse did not need to have the microphone quite so close to his mouth.
Unit. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're going to face a really tough opponent.
Okay. No more Gerrit Cole.
Unit.
Until he's calm and sitting at a podium talking about the LCS, we're good with the... It's still a bit scary.
Playing.
Aaron Judge was also in there. His voice tends to get deeper, not higher, and so it's not quite as jarring.
You know, a lot of guys from different teams, you know, acquired some big names, and, you know, they fit right in. You know, any guy that comes over here and wears these pinstripes, they're meant to be a Yankee, so it's a special group.
Unit!
You can hear the craziness, and good for them. They've earned it. It's been a really long season. I do not begrudge any team their champagne clubhouse celebration. I don't even care if they're doing it because they've won a wild card series or clinched a wild card spot. After 162 freaking regular season games, they deserve to have a little fun now and then. So good for them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, there was a moment where the benches cleared for a strongly worded conversation. I don't know. This is, it's a tense atmosphere.
Here's another 0-2. Massey swings and grounds it to first. Birdie steps on the bag for an out and throws down to second in time for a 3-6 reverse double play. And now Garcia and Chisholm are getting into it. And Chisholm had nothing to do with the play. Garcia slid late and hard into second base and collided with Volpe. And those two had words, but there was nothing to it. And now here come the benches and the bullpens. But the instigator was Jazz Chisholm, who had nothing to do with the play at all. And I think what happened on the play is that Garcia was trying to get an angle, realizing that there was going to be a throw from the first baseman Birdie, trying to get an angle on Volpe so that the throw would hit him or go over him. And he slid late. We're getting another look at it.
I actually think this is more about the fact that they don't like Jazz Chisholm. Just call me crazy. But Chisholm has been an instigator. He's been using his hand signals and his hand motions, and he's been gesturing to the crowd. And he, of course, earlier in the series, made this prediction that they were going to win and blah, blah, blah. And so he's been out there loud and proud and has been a Yankee, but has been running his mouth a little bit. And honestly, every time he did anything in this game, the crowd booed him. So I think this is more about Chisholm. And it was fairly tense out there, but that's good. We need a little electricity. We need a little bit of acrimony in the playoffs. I don't need all these guys to be hugging it up and dapping it up and talking about their families when they're on second base. Nah, let's have a little electricity, a little, what's that? You know, in the wintertime, it's the worst. When you get the static electricity, that's what we need. We need a little static electricity in our October baseball, Pete.
Hey, get some of those sheets, those static sheets. Rub them on your hands.
It's the worst. It happens here all the time because there's so much metal and so many different pieces of equipment. And I'm generally wearing either the soft-soled shoes, like loafers, or sneakers. Oh, man. Yeah, rub it along.
Don't wear footy pajamas in this building.
Oh, my gosh. We'd start a fire. Yep. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Congratulations to the Royals. I know that they really struggled late in the season at home. I didn't realize this, but it's been over a month since they've won a game at Kauffman Stadium. And so the fans were hungry for a win, but they lost 9 in a row, including these in the playoffs. But think about the fact that they've got a bunch of their young guys locked up long-term, including Bobby Witt. And this was their first playoff appearance since they won the World Series in 2015. They were a team that lost 106 games a year ago. To me, that is notable. It's remarkable. So let's see if this is the foundation for the Royals and Matt Quatraro.
Frustration, Quatraro. Disappointment, Quatraro. Sadness. Feel really badly for those guys in the room because, as you know, and this is 7-8 months of the year that they just pour it all into it and give every ounce of effort and energy they have.
You know, this team is full of pretty good composure, so we're not going to, I mean, it doesn't matter, we're going to, because there is no more of this team. So, just sucks, but yeah, I mean, you guys have seen it. It's a good group of guys.
I appreciate what they've done, and for Matt Quatraro and for Vinny Pasquantino, you can hear the frustration, you can hear the emotion, so of course you feel badly. You pour heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this is the playoffs, right? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I don't think that Chisholm was right when he said that the Royals were lucky to win game two. He's wrong. This team fought, scratched, clawed. They were able to get to this point and to make something of a season, even late. Remember, they lost 7 games in a row and then still managed to right the ship and get back on track. 3 AL Central teams in the playoffs. So good for the Royals. Now, Bobby Witt is the big superstar. And you may have been watching the broadcast, even if there was football on your computer or your device like it was on mine. You may have been watching the broadcast and noticed that as the Yankees are celebrating there, and it always hurts when they're celebrating on your field, they're celebrating near the mound and they're all excited, of course, about clinching a spot in the championship series. And Witt is sitting or standing on the top step of the dugout and he looks morose. Of course, he looks forlorn. And so he was talking about that moment watching the Yankees celebrate.
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be. And so just got to keep working, get better each and every day. And so I think the best is yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. And we were. So it's just, we got a special team. So I'm going to keep riding out.
I appreciate so much that you've got teams that will pour everything into it so that it hurts when they're out. And to hear Bobby say it's motivation, that's awesome. Isn't that what Caitlin Clark told us when she was left off the women's Olympic team? It's motivation. This is going to serve to get us to where we want to go. It's going to push me, and I'm going to keep charging because I know that they're where I want to be. I mean, I think that's an amazing quality. Failure is only the end if you allow it to be the last thing, if you allow it to be the last word. And I think this team has a bright future in front of them. Again, going from 106 losses to 86 wins this season. Let's see what 2025 has in store, though it is down the road a little bit. As for the benches clearing, no big deal. It's just funny to me sometimes when you get a big group of men out there and they're, you can see the anger, maybe sometimes. There might be a couple of punches thrown. This wasn't a brawl by any stretch of the imagination, but I always wonder what they're actually saying to each other. Like, we had to come out here because we have to. It's unwritten rule. If you don't come out here, then you're not supporting your teammates and they talk about you on the radio. But it just, yeah, it was kind of one of those things where nobody really wanted anything to happen. They just had to be out there for their guys. So nothing to see here. Move on. Nothing to see here. All right. Indians. Whoops. I only did that once earlier this week. Guardians. I'm not the only one, though. When we talked to Tony Gwynn Jr., he called them the Indians, too, I think. The Guardians and the Tigers headed to a game five. We'll get to that one on the back end of this hour. But straight ahead, Tracy Sandler is ready to join us from Seattle in the wake of Thursday Night Football. Love to get your calls in the back of the hour, too. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Play clock at 5-4. Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle over the middle on an in cut and an absolute rope from Brock Purdy right in between two defenders.
There's always going to be stuff that you can clean up. And, you know, for us, our standard is high here. And so I think a lot of us would go to, all right, like we could have done this or that and be better here. But I think at the end of the day, man, it's a team sport. And so to go four quarters with all these different kinds of emotions and parts of the game and to be able to rally together and defense get a turnover and then us score a touchdown at the end. And it's just that's team football, man, and that's the sport that we play. So I feel like we did take a step in the right direction for sure. And we're always going to have stuff that we're going to be hard on ourselves and need to grow and get better at. But I really do think that we all as a team came together and found a way today really well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brock Purdy, 3 touchdowns, no sacks, no turnovers, and the Niners able to get a win in the division for the first time this season. Back to 500, and now, just by virtue of an early tie break against the Seahawks, they are sitting on top of the NFC West. The call's there with Greg Papa on Niners radio, and then you hear the voice of Brock Purdy. After that, we're off and running in week number 6 at Amy After Hours. What is the After Hours game of the week? Also on our Facebook page, and we'll get to your calls back half of the hour. 855-212-4227. Really excited to welcome Tracy Sandler of Fangirl Sports Network. She's the founder of the network and covers the Niners for Fangirl Sports Network. And Tracy joining us from Seattle. I'll ask you the question I put out there on social. How far does this win for San Francisco go toward getting the team back on track?
It's huge because if they had lost this game tonight, they would be starting 0-3 in the division, and it would be really, really hard to break out of that hole. So this was an absolutely huge win for this team, especially with the Chiefs coming to town next week, the Cowboys coming to town the following week, and then they go into their bye. So I really consider this a must-win game. George Kittle said he didn't really see it as a must-win game, and Fred Warner said they talked about it, you know, but once they got here to game day, they didn't want to think like that. But at the end of the day, this was really a must-win game for them.
George Kittle had a huge game, so he's putting his money where his mouth was with the 2 touchdowns. And the offense looked real good in stretches, and yet there are still points left out there. What do you see with their red zone possessions?
They made major strides today by getting into the red zone a couple times. But when I think about them and their red zone struggles, to me, it's very much missing Christian McCaffrey, and they are certainly going to have to figure it out. It takes nothing away from the talent from the rest of the team. But having Christian McCaffrey out there, it just means that someone else is going to be more open. Attention's going to be on Christian, or maybe all the attention's going to be on Debo, and so there's more opportunity for Christian or George Kittle. So I do think these struggles are, of course, related to the lack of Christian McCaffrey. However, on the road, on a short week, in a tough environment, in, as we discussed, the must-win game, they were able to get in the red zone. In some ways, they kind of got the monkey off their back in that way. So I think it's something that they will figure out even more as the week go on.
228 rushing yards without Christian McCaffrey is really impressive. Not to mention, Jordan Mason only ends up with 9 carries. So who is Isaac Garendo?
Isaac Garendo, he's a rookie running back. This was his biggest night by far. That was a huge, huge run that he had. And I have to say, it's not just Garendo. The rookies really stepped up. And something that people have been talking about, the coaches have been talking about, going back to OTAs, was how impressive this rookie class was in terms of maturity, in terms of time spent studying, in terms of readiness. And I think we saw it tonight, obviously, with Isaac Garendo on that run. He stepped up, and that was absolutely huge. The other thing that was, I think, huge was he fell on the ball. He got down. He could have tried to score a touchdown, and he said he looked at the sideline, and they were like, get down, get down. It shows a level of unselfishness that's usually for a veteran. That's not usually a rookie, and I think that speaks a lot to that maturity. So, obviously, a huge night for Garendo. Renardo Green and Alex Mustafa, these guys really came up in place of injured players, and it's very encouraging for this rookie class.
Tracy Sandler is with us from Seattle after this Thursday night game, the founder and CEO of Fangirl Sports and longtime Niners beat reporter for her network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, we mentioned his name a couple of times. What do we know about McCaffrey?
I think all we know right now is he's dealing with Achilles tendonitis, and he is on IR kind of to save everybody from themselves, including Christian. Obviously, his practice window could have been opened up this week, but you know, I don't think we really know for sure when he comes back, and they were going to ramp up his kind of practice schedule or conditioning, I guess would be a better word for it, this week and see how he does this week. They do have a mini bye and then the Chiefs come to town. But I just think what we know is that we really don't know. And that's because of Achilles tendonitis, rest is really the only thing that will make it better. It's hard to say. I look ahead now, as I mentioned, the Chiefs come to town. The Cowboys come to town, and then they have a bye week. I don't know that Christian is getting rushed back before that, but also, I mean, they would never rush him back. I just don't know if they even try to get him back before then, because again, Achilles tendonitis, it is rest, and you don't want to mess with it. You don't want to get it back out there too soon, and then something even worse happens. So I don't have a really great answer for you, just because we really don't know. That's the only thing we know, is that we just don't know when he's going to get back out on the field, and obviously, the huge missing part of the puzzle for the 49ers, but this is a tough injury. Dre Greenlaw had this injury last year on a different Achilles from the one he injured in the Super Bowl, but it's a tough injury, and there's not really any way to fix it other than staying off of it.
Right. Was there any indication of this during training camp or preseason? Because I feel like it caught me off guard and other people as well when he wasn't available to start the season.
Early in training camp, he had a calf injury, and he was shut down for training camp and was said he was going to miss all of the preseason. The expectation was that he would be back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For week one, that first it was a Thursday practice because they were Monday night football as opposed to Wednesday practice. He was on the injury list with a calf and Achilles. And we asked if it was different. Apparently it wasn't different, but I think it's been building up to this. He was out all of preseason, like I said, in most of training camp with a calf injury. It's surprising, but probably not shocking.
We have seen Jordan Mason really take the ball and go with it. He's had several 100-yard games, which has been exceptional. What do you see with him that at least helps them have that rushing production?
He's an incredible runner, and he's a very physical runner. And so, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, it's pretty incredible how it's amazing what he could do with all of these amazing running backs. But I think with Jordan Mason, we see that they don't have to abandon the run game. They don't have to cut back on the run game. He's an excellent running back. Christian's different because he's Christian McCaffrey, but Jordan Mason's an excellent running back, and he's a guy who in the offseason, he told us he spent a few thousand dollars on a machine essentially to practice his pass catching skills because that was a place that he thought he really lacked. So as he did that, that really helped San Francisco too because of the amount they used Christian McCaffrey as a pass catcher. There's only one Christian McCaffrey, but Jordan Mason certainly gives them the confidence that they continue to run this offense in the way that they, Kyle Shanahan, like to run this offense until Christian gets back. And then Christian gets back and you have a very, very reliable RB2 and also someone who can take some of the workload off of Christian when he gets back.
Tracy Sandler is with us after Thursday night football. And now the Niners are back in the lead, back to 500, back in the lead in the NFC West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. They've had a couple of games in which they had double figure leads in the second half and weren't able to hold those leads. Kind of stunning against the Rams and against the Cardinals. Is there something that sticks out from those games?
We did see it tonight. They were able to finish the game. But there are things that they are going to have to clean up in all of these games, including tonight. They've had pretty massive special team snafus that have given the other team momentum. And that is a really big issue. I mean, they've had almost a special team disaster every game this season. By being able to finish the game tonight, it was somewhat of a grindy game. It looked like there was a point where Seattle might be able to come back. And Fred Warner was asked, did it feel like it deja vu? It could happen again. And he said 1,000%, but we were focused. We got it together. Renardo Green talked about that. They refocused their energy. And because they were able to win tonight and finish the game, I think that's really the big thing that propels them forward.
What are your perceptions of the division so far through these, I guess, early 6 weeks?
I still think the 49ers are the best team in the division, talent-wise for sure, and just generally. The record maybe doesn't show it right now, but I think they're the best team in the division by far. The Cardinals are one of those teams that you kind of just never know what you're going to get. They're not a true threat in the division yet. I don't think the Rams are a true threat in the division. The Seahawks are certainly a decent football team, but I think we saw it tonight. The 49ers tonight, even though they weren't as good in the red zone as they want to be, even with these special teams that they had, they're still the best team in this division in terms of execution, in terms of talent, in terms of everything. But they have to play like it on Sundays. And Kyle Shanahan always says something in the playoffs that I think really also relates to regular season games. Not necessarily the best team. It's the best, the team that plays the best for the 3.5 hours they're out there. And the 49ers have to figure out how to be that team. And tonight, I think they took a big step forward to doing that.
The criticism of Brock Purdy always kind of blows me away. Not mm-hmm. that he's Patrick Mahomes, but who is? And considering the success that the team has had with him as quarterback, does that ever surprise you that people seem to take aim at him?
There's reasons that I can't quite understand. People cannot get over the fact that he was the final pick in the draft. And the thing that's so weird to me about it is if he was an undrafted free agent quarterback, people would think this is the greatest story in the entire world. But for some reason, him being a seventh-round draft pick, people can't get over it. I don't know if it threatens what they feel about the draft, threatens what they know about football. I think that that's what it is. But I do think at this point and by now, and especially this season, they're seeing that he is the real deal. Has he been perfect? Absolutely not. Have there been games where he doesn't seem to be as accurate, doesn't seem to be reading the field as well? Yes. But I look at that Rams game. It's a game that they lost. He was absolutely incredible in that game. He is now 5-0 against the Seahawks. He is 3-0 here in Seattle. A Thursday night game, every single one of those times. So prime time in a very tough place to play. And so I don't know how you can argue with the fact that he knows how to win football games. He's also shown a lot in the last few weeks that he can run and use his legs. I don't think they want him to be doing that as much. Little that might be because he hasn't always been reading the field as well. But I think by now people have to understand this man is the real deal. In year one, they went to the NFC Championship game. And it was only an injury that really kept him from performing in that game. Then they go to the Super Bowl. He's it. I would hope by the end of this year, it's enough and people would get over it. But there is just, for some reason, people can't get over it. And like I said, if he was an undrafted rookie free agent, people would be like, this is the greatest story in the entire world. So I don't know why this isn't still the greatest story in the entire world.
One of my favorite things about Brock, though, that it does not matter to him. He could not care less what people think. He just kind of handles it with his same even-keel personality. He's super competitive, of course. He wants to win. He wants to do a good job, but doesn't even care if people think that he should be something else.
100%. He doesn't care. And that's the thing about him. You know, a lot of people will be like, I don't care, but then might be able to read you every tweet that was said about him. He really does not care. Doesn't bother him at least, but that's why he's so good. That's why his teammates trust him, and that's why he's been as successful as he's been.
It's always cool to talk to you, Trace, because we get a different perspective, and I know your network is growing, which is awesome. We're so proud of you to have you on the show.
Thank you.
In the Bay Area, Robert Saleh is beloved. What's your reaction to him getting fired 5 games into the season?
I was pretty surprised. You know, Kyle Shanahan said the other day he was pretty surprised. On the one hand, it's been a rough road. I think much of it not his fault. But I think, unfortunately, he was in such a tough position because they got Aaron Rodgers back. And so now that they had Aaron Rodgers back, I think there was a feeling probably there, not everywhere, that there were no excuses. But to fire him 5 games into the season, I think is a mistake. I do think this is how bad teams stay bad, is they make these types of decisions. I think it's a loss, I think, for the Jets, and he should have probably gotten a full year with Aaron Rodgers, but I have no doubt that Robert Saleh will find another job as soon as he wants one. He's an incredibly talented coach, especially defensively, but I do believe this is how bad teams stay bad, and it will be interesting to see how the Jets are moving forward. I do not believe that they are now going to go on some run and be so much better than they were before, and they might really be worse.
Yeah, you're right. Constant change equals constant losing in sports. And the Jets are in a bit of a rut just like that. All right, so Trace, I know that you've also been on the Dodgers train here, and we're at game one of the NLDS. I am a little jealous that you got to see the Shohei Ohtani postseason home run in person. What was that moment like?
It was, I lost my voice on that play. I had to work the next day in the postgame press conferences. I could barely get questions out. It was unbelievable. I was like, oh my God, I can't even explain it. I jumped up and down. I went absolutely bananas. Dodger Stadium during the playoffs is also one of the most amazing sports things a person could experience. But to see it was incredible. The emotion he showed was incredible. And then throughout the series, I mean, the thing with him that I think has been so cool to watch over these last several months is how he's adjusted to being on a team where hitting with runners in scoring position happens a lot, and how important that is. And it's not all on his shoulders. And so even when he gets a base hit and gets a run, I mean, it's really incredible. Obviously what he does on the bases, he ran through a stop sign last night, but we'll forgive him because he's Shohei Ohtani. But it was absolutely so incredible to be there for his first postseason game. He hits a 3-run homer to tie the game. They win the game. It was incredible. And now tomorrow night, back to Dodger Stadium for game 5.
That's on my bucket list, by the way, to be at Dodger Stadium for a big game, because the atmosphere, even through the TV, just always feels electric. I am blown away by the way that Dave Roberts and his pitching staff has been able to manage a rotation that's changed, I don't know, every 5 seconds during the regular season.
100%.
And to have 8 different pitchers for game number 4. And I made this point on my show last night, the Padres actually haven't scored a run since the second inning of game 3, which means that they're on quite a scoreless inning streak here. What's your feel about game 5 between the Padres and the Dodgers?
First of all, I do want to give Dave Roberts and that bullpen a ton of credit. He managed a beautiful game. The bullpen was incredible, and he managed it flawlessly. I feel really good about Game 5. I really do. It's Yamamoto against Yu Darvish. I think Yamamoto is going to pitch much better than he did in Game 1. I think Game 1 was good for him. I mean, he is a rookie in Major League Baseball. It was his first ever playoff game. He did not have a great outing, but they still won. Mm. And I kind of feel like he got that out of his system. Yu Darvish is a hell of a pitcher, and he pitched so well the other night. I think we're going to have a really, really good game. But I feel good about my Dodgers. I really felt like if they could win Game 4 and get it back to L.A., they were going to win the division series. So I am planning to be at Dodger Stadium for Game 1 of the NLCS on Sunday, and I do not think they will let me down.
Is this turning into a rivalry now that the Padres beat them in 22?
Yes, I think this has become such a rivalry. And really, going back to 2021, when these two teams played each other, like, in double-digit numbers in the regular season. And actually, going back to 2020, really, where the Dodgers beat the Padres in the playoffs in that game. This one has become a huge rivalry, and it's been, I don't even remember, and maybe I just don't remember, but I don't remember Giants rivalries like this. This is seems to be a whole other level. So it'll be a very fun Game 5. I think this is a rivalry you're going to see for years to come, and it's possible the series gives me a coronary, but as long as they win, it's all right.
No, we don't need that, but it is supposed to be intense in October, so it definitely has been so far between these two teams. Good stuff with Tracy Sandler at Tracy FGSN. She's the Niners beat reporter for the Fangirl Sports Network, which is her network, her baby, as the founder and the CEO, and it just keeps growing. It's always good to connect with you. We'll do it again, Trace. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
A little bit of everything there with Tracy. And I know from her Twix that she's got, and her Insta as well, that she's got lots of stuff from both Dodgers and Niners, a combination of SoCal and NoCal. She goes back and forth, but we always enjoy catching up with her. And yes, her network appeals to maybe, should we say, atypical? Women are more and more vocal and supportive when it comes to their favorite teams. And so more and more, the female fan base is growing. And I love that she was in at the ground level on that. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. What is the After Hours game of the week? Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, and 49ers looking to get themselves back on track in Seattle.
Here's a pistol. They ride the mesh point to Mason Brock and a throw out left. Wide open. Debo Samuel makes the catch. And now speeding down the sideline. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
76 yards. Brock Purdy to Debo Samuel. Purdy threw for 255. Three scores as the 49ers erase the Seahawks 36-24. Call courtesy of the 49ers Radio Network. George Kittle, five catches, 58 yards, two scores. Niners churning out 228 yards on the ground as both teams now sit at 3-3. Jets continue to shake things up. They demote Nathaniel Hackett, stripping him of play-calling duties. That in favor of Todd Downing. Aaron Rodgers is with Hackett in Green Bay, very close to him. But he didn't stand in the way of interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich's decision.
I mean, I knew there'd be changes after they let Robert go. I had conversations with Brick over the 2 days. I knew that he was thinking about it, leaning toward it, and I told him I'd back him up, whatever he decided.
Russell Wilson, a full participant in practice for a second straight day as Pittsburgh gets to define his role with Justin Fields starting the first five games of the season. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson also practiced fully for the first time since his oblique injury. Unclear if he'll be able to go Sunday or if Joe Flacco will again make the start. Baseball playoffs, Yankees went to work quickly, looking to dispose of the Royals.
And 0-1 to Soto. Hit on the ground in the hole. There's a base hit right field. Rounding third is Torres. He's coming home. Ball's bobbled anyway. It's a base hit and an RBI for Juan Soto. What a great beginning for the Yanks.
Juan Soto, Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton each knocked in a run while Gerrit Cole fired seven innings of one-run ball. Yankees erased the Royals 3-1 to take the series in four. John Sterling, the call, Yankees Radio Network. Guardians forcing deciding game five back in Cleveland. Up in the Tigers 5-4. David Fry off the bench. Go ahead. Two-run shot in the seventh as he knocked in three in all. Game five in Cleveland Saturday. In WNBA Finals, the Lynx came back from 18 down. They shocked the Liberty in overtime 95-93 to take game one. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet.
Pitch, swinging a fly ball, left field, deep. Kwan going back, still racing to the wall. Gone! How about it? Opposite field home run for Zach McKinstry. We're tied at two. Waving to the crowd, getting him up as he crosses home plate. Listen to Comerica Park. Gattis places that left foot in front of the right when he sets. Holds a glove at the belt. The 1-1. Swinging a little flare in the left center field. Will it drop? It will! Round in third, heading home. Carpenter, no throw. Tigers take the lead. 3-2 in the sixth. Wenzel Perez delivers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Game four at Comerica Park in Detroit as the Tigers trying to punch their ticket to the LCS, the ALCS, for the first time since 2013. But the Guardians won that division, the AL Central, going away. And they were going to have a little something in store, even on the road in a hostile environment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence heading into the seventh inning. The Tigers had that 3-2 lead, as you hear with Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio. And you may remember game two, the Cary Carpenter moment. He actually was the one who scored the third run for the Tigers on Thursday and looked pretty clear that he pulled up with some type of a hamstring injury. He was grimacing as he was coming across the plate. So then into the seventh, the Guardians are needing a moment like that. And boy, did they get exactly what they needed.
The set, the 2-2 delivery. Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry! Off the bench, a two-strike, two-out, two-run home run. And Cleveland's back on top for the third time tonight, 4-3. And what a welcoming crew outside the first base dugout. Guardians coming out to mob David Fry. And Comerica Park, as silent as St. John's Cathedral on a Sunday morning in downtown Cleveland.
That's the great Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio. His home run calls are incredible. And so David Fry has his moment, and the Guardians get the lead in the seventh inning. Now, there was still time for the Tigers, and they have the crowd behind them, hoping to avoid a game five. Multiple times, the Guardians had to slam the door.
What a ball game, what a series, and tonight, a classic. Three different times, Cleveland's had the lead. But Detroit just won't go away. Now the next offering. And Sweeney swings and a foul tip hung on to by Austin Hedges, who does a fist pump heading to the first base dugout. Now we go to the ninth inning. It's still 4-3 Cleveland.
Yeah, there was a little bit of drama, a little bit of tension. So they go from David Fry's home run to the Guardians then trying to add insurance in the top of the ninth.
He squares to bunt, safety bunt. Coming home with it, backhanded flip, the tag on Rocchio. Not in time! He's in with a head first slide. They pulled off a safety squeeze. And a beauty of a bunt by David Fry. He trickled it out between the mound and home plate. Vest came flying off that mound with a backhanded, almost like an option quarterback pitch to home plate. But a good break by Rocchio, and he got in with a head-first slide. And Cleveland which has patented that safety squeeze this year. Get a mammoth insurance run.
Wait until you hear what Fry had to say about the safety squeeze. And this is right after his home run hit. Well, his appearance, his home run plate appearance. And so really cool to see these two go back and forth now forcing a game five. We'll get some reaction coming up, but Jeff is in Cleveland and wants to weigh in on the Guardians. Jeff, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about the Guardians, but I really want to talk about what this series is doing for baseball and our communities, because this has been such entertaining. And Cleveland and Detroit both. If we didn't have this in Cleveland, we'd be shooting ourselves because the Browns suck.
Okay, don't do that. It's still just sports.
I think Detroit's kind of the same way.
Well, I understand that communities are tied to their teams, and certainly Cleveland and Detroit have had long stretches where there's been not a whole lot of hope and euphoria outside of the 2016 NBA Finals. But please don't do any shooting of yourself or others, because it's still just sports. But I agree, it gives you a lot of fun and joy and excitement. It's neat to see both these fan bases engaged.
And at the same time, both cities, Detroit and Cleveland, are kind of rooting for Kansas City, and
I'm not sure what happened to your phone, Jeff, but it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your enthusiasm. It was a womp, 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 womp there at the end, like Charlie Brown's teacher. I do think it's awesome for the Tigers and Lions fans in Detroit to have both to choose for, and they can watch them back and forth one day, one night after another. So there's a lot of excitement there, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.